Welcome to Checkpoint Real Talk, a podcast for security folks who want less FUD and more FUN. In each episode, we'll have lighthearted conversations about security, people, processes, and technology as we react to how they're portrayed in film and TV. We'll bring in experts from inside and outside Checkpoint to break it down. What was accurate? What wasn't? And what can you apply to real-world cyber events? On today's episode, host Sia Yasutornrat, Checkpoint Manager Security Engineer Team Christophe Lossi, Incident Response Lead Tom Delette, and Incident Response Analyst Tone de Kock react to the 1995 movie Hackers. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to Checkpoint Real Talk. Today, we are going to be going over a movie that has been multiple, like, thousands of people just requesting Hackers. And so who could I get but the coolest guys out of Belgium that are going to be our experts to talk about why Hackers with Angelina Jolie in her younger years, as has been stated. She looks the same to me. But guys, welcome. So we've got Christophe, Tom, and Tone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Checkpoint Real Talk, guys.
Thanks for the welcome.
Welcome to be here. It's fun to be here.
Okay, so
that remains to be seen if it's fun to be here.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. Oh, no pressure on my part now. Great, guys.
Yeah, look, indeed,
I throw it out once to say it's okay, guys, have personality, and all of a sudden all of your faces drop at me like, what? It's okay.
Yeah.
So real quick question. Raise your hand. Who has seen Hackers? Oh, this is gonna be good. This is gonna be very good. All right. So I have actually seen Hackers, but many, many moon cycles. So it's almost as if I haven't seen it in a long, long time. So this will be really interesting. The premise of it is basically is the early years of the internet. And you had a group of people that were literally hacking into networks. So I don't remember beyond that. So Christophe, do you remember beyond that?
Yeah,
I just remember being like a bunch of like cool kids. And they were all cute. That was, I think, all I remembered.
Well, what I remember, because indeed for me, it's also many, many, many moons ago since I saw this movie. It was a typical 90s movie, both in dress code as well as in way of acting. And there was a lot of hysteria about something happening on the computer screen. And if I'm not mistaken, there weren't really the cool kids because they were actually into computers and stuff, which back in those days were only for the nerdy ones.
That's
hasn't
true.
Hasn't been changing much, I see.
No, it hasn't.
Yes, yes. I know. Okay, so that's funny you should mention that because there is this assumption stereotypically. You see it all the time in social media that like hackers are wearing like hoodies and they're like in a dark basement somewhere or their parents' basement somewhere, or you get this like LAN where like everyone's got like a bunch of computers all in one room and space. That's like far from the truth. Maybe back then it might have been, but today it doesn't feel like that's the case. Or is it? Are we still wearing hoodies as hackers?
Well, seldom, we sometimes wear hoodies, true, but we indeed need to step away from that, how do you stereotype depicting of the hacker, true.
They're probably exactly. Just work in cubicles and be miserable about their salaries too. they're basically, especially the black hat hackers, the ransomware operators I do think they are just as miserable as we are and trying to make their wages at the end of the month to get their bonuses in and things like that.
Are you miserable?
I'm not.
Are you miserable, Tom? Is there anything you want to talk about?
Well, my team lead is on here, so Tom, I'm not feeling very fine. I might do with a significant raise at the moment. It would help, yes.
Oh, I love it. I love it, love it. So, okay, well, guys, are we ready to jump in and then check out the first scene? All right, let's do it.
Sure.
It isn't a virus. It's a worm.
What's this one eat?
It nibbles. You see all of this? This is every financial transaction Ellingson conducts, yeah? From million-dollar deals to the 10 bucks that some guy pays for gas.
The worm eats a few cents from each transaction.
No one's caught it because the money isn't really gone. It's just data being shifted around.
And when the worm's ready, it zips out with the money and erases its track.
Joey got cut off before he got to that part. Check it out. By this point, it's already running at what? Twice the speed as when it started.
Right, and at this rate, it ends its run in
2 days.
Judging by this segment alone, man, it's already eaten about
21.8 million bucks, man.
Whoever wrote this needs somebody to take the fall. And that's Freak, and that's Joey, and that's us. We gotta get the rest of the file so we can find out where the money's going before the worm disappears, so we can find out who created it.
All right, guys. We're talking about a worm here, and the way they described it, right? They kind of put it in like civilian terms where it was already encoded in there, and it will pull it out when it's ready and then erase its presence. Help me understand, you guys. Is that accurate of what a worm is?
No, it's accurate with modern malware things, but the distinction between virus and worm dates back quite a few years. I think Christoph might remember those times still.
Yep. And the idea of having a literal worm nibbling away, it's just, I mean, it makes for a good movie line, but it's not what actually happens.
The actual difference is the virus needs a human to trigger it, like the I love you virus, where people actually needed to execute it. That's a virus, and the worm is basically the virus which doesn't need the interaction to propagate. He can't propagate himself. But there too are some very cool takes in this clip. As I see this guy reading hexadecimal at a speed I can only be jealous of, and his forensic skills are through the roof, the way he's reading that and analyzing that and piecing that thing together.
Yeah, that's just not realistic. What could be realistic is indeed having some malware doing exactly this and under the radar trying to exfiltrate some, in this case, money, because it's indeed data that's just being shifted around. But the whole way that he gets to that conclusion by just looking at a screen that is going so fast that no human can ever read it ever, that's just ridiculous. That is just the funniest thing.
I will give them credit, though. At least they're actually showing, like, it's scrolling as far as, like, in other movies, we see them, like, have a graphics. Like, they'll do these crazy-looking graphics that are flashing all over the place. Yeah. This is a little bit more accurate in the context that it is.
Some of the earliest attempts to somewhat be accurate and not have the website saying, enter password, firewall hacked, you've entered the Pentagon, something like that in other movies. Yeah, okay, give him credit for that.
Or the hacking progress bar. I'm always a fan of the hacking progress bar. Where there is like 100% hacked, like that one.
Come on, hurry up, they're almost in.
Yeah. Hit the keyboard a little bit harder and you will find it. Yep.
Yeah, but it does create for good drama, no?
It does.
Hollywood gets away with a lot of things.
I like the fact they were actually doing forensics in this case, because they were analyzing the malware to see what it did and what its capabilities were.
Yep.
They did it in ultra fast forward, but they were doing forensics, so I like it.
Yeah, because nobody wants to see a scene of 3 hours going through the data, figuring out what's actually happening. Nobody wants to see that in a movie. Maybe you guys, but you are the analyst, so you maybe get a kick out of it, but I sure wouldn't.
Yeah, the movie would be called Case Study.
Yeah.
Case Study.
That's funny. Okay, yeah. So with that portion of the depiction of them knowing about this worm, and again, I don't know this movie either. I just thought it was a really cool scene. Let's continue on, because this next portion of it cracks me up, because I think there's something about notoriety of being a hacker.
I know who wrote it.
What?
This Ellingson security creep. I gave him a copy of the disc you gave me.
You what?
Didn't know what was on it.
Oh, man. It's universally stupid, man.
Yo, man, you an amateur, man.
Why did he come to you?
I got a record. I was zero cool.
Zero cool? Crashed 1,507 systems in one day? Biggest crash in history. Front page New York Times, August 10th, 1988. I thought you was black, man.
Yo, man, this is zero cool! Oh, shit!
That's far out.
This is zero cool, man!
Yo, that's great. There goes MIT.
I'll make it up!
Yeah? How?
I'll hack the Gibson.
Dude, they'll trace you like that, man. The cops are gonna find you. They're gonna find you with a smoking gun.
Fucked if I care, man.
Look, even if you had the password, it'd take you 10 minutes to get in, and you still gotta find the files, man. I mean, the cops will have you in 5 minutes.
Oh, wow, we are fried.
Never send a boy to do a woman's job. With me, we can do it in 7.
You both screwed. I hope we do it in 6.
Jesus, I gotta save all your asses. I help. We could do it in 5 minutes now.
Okay, let's go shopping.
Woohoo! All right, so.
First of all, zero cool. That is just, yeah. This whole idea of having a hacker alias and then the best thing you can come up with is zero cool. I mean, like I said, it's the 90s.
Okay. If we're gonna be making fun of Zero Cool's name, what would your hacker name be?
Oh, that's a very good question.
Depends if I'm going to get discovered by the cops or not.
Well, throw one out. I'm intrigued now.
Well, I would pick the first and last name of somebody I really do not like. If I'm caught, I can have some fun with someone.
Yeah, that would work. That would work.
That's funny.
I'll not go on record and name people, but
no. But I can think of a few. Yeah, for sure.
That is funny.
Yeah.
All right, Tone, you win on that one. First and last name of the person I don't like. I like that one. You win. All right, so Zero Cool.
Just in case.
Zero Cool. He made a mistake, you guys. He took I'm guessing it was like maybe a drive or something and gave it to someone and he didn't know it was on it. So he made a fundamental, I think now, today, a common mistake, which is, I found a random USB. I guess I'll just shove it into my laptop and see what's on there. Is that basically what he's admitted to?
No, I think he found something that he gave a copy to someone that he shouldn't have given that copy to. So a random USB would be the other way around. You find something and you plug it in and then it has some malware on it, which is very common, by the way. But this is actually something he shared that he shouldn't have shared. And back in those days, it was on a disk because,
That's what we used.
That's what we had. It's not just what we used, that's what we had. There was nothing else.
Speaking of those little disks, like they actually interviewed a bunch of Gen Zs and took a poll to say, like, do you know what this is? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's the save button.
Save button. The save
3D
button.
3D printed save button, right?
Yeah. 3D printed the save button. It's like, wow.
Next time.
Oh, that's funny.
If you find a music cassette, they're going to think it's from the Civil War or something.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I've said this before, and I know I upset a lot of my friends, but I was like, guys, you know the music in the 80s, like, when you think back 40 years, it would be World War II in the 40s, right? That's the same equivalent of the kids in the 2020s. The 80s is 40 years ago, and all my friends were like, why did you have to put it in those contexts? I'm like, it is. We're the equivalent of World War II to these kids right now. So anyway. I know, I digress. But okay, so feeling that the music, like I said, is that 40-year gap, right? This movie feels really dated in a lot of ways. So how, with Zero Cool and the fact that he shared information with someone he shouldn't have, I didn't understand that last scene where they're like, I can do it in 7. You need my help, I can do it in 6, 5. What were they talking about there?
I think they were talking about how much time they needed to hack in some system and steal something. Yeah. Which is a hilarious thing that you can put a time frame on there to see how much minutes you're going to take.
Yeah.
Because
that's always completely not realistic in any movie is the time frame.
Yeah.
That's like the number one thing. Like we've seen many good movies in the past, like especially things like Mr. Robot was a very good example of things that could really happen. But never in the time frame that they show in the movie. Like, never.
Okay, so you can't call it out and say, I can solve this issue in 2 minutes.
No.
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 No. No.
Also, solving a case in that many hours is most no. cases it's very well. It's an educated guess you can do. Whenever we have to help a client, we also have to guess how many hours we need for that. But we get pretty good at guessing, but it's still guessing because you never know what you're going to get. There's always going to be surprises coming your way in order to solve the puzzle. The interesting thing in this is that he basically said, I gave the disc to him and I didn't know what was on it.
Yeah.
And that has a very good analogy as we are, our laptops and our mobile phones contain our entire life. And once we get a new one, what do we do with the old one? It might be a bit of what's the correct English term where you have some influence of your professional life and your private life, but I might be misformed by that. But I drill holes in all my old hard drives and I try to destroy my phones physically before I throw them away. But people are, their laptop's getting stolen, their data's getting stolen because they don't do any full disk encryption, which they actually should on every device they have. But they're giving away things which contain important data, which they have no idea what's still on there. So hot take for the watchers, make sure you have full disk encryption on everything and be careful when you throw away your phone.
I haven't thrown any of my phones away. I have it's horrible. Like I've got this like massive box of all of our equipment over time, just because I'm so paranoid about it, even though we've cleaned it and all that good stuff. My boyfriend's actually used to be in cybersecurity. So like, I get it. I trust him, but I still won't throw things away. That could be hoarding tendencies, but that's a different issue altogether.
Yeah.
As long as you don't start displaying things like old hardware, then you're fine.
No, I'll try not. Okay, so any final thoughts on this particular scene, you guys? Anything that stood out to you?
Yeah, I just wanted to add on the timing thing was that what is kind of realistic is when you have like a certain window of getting something done. That is true, but you can't figure it out in time in that window. No, you need to be able to plan ahead, create some sort of attack that fits in that window. So that part can be realistic. Like we only have 5 minutes until they can, something gets triggered. That kind of could be realistic, but then.
Two other things that popped up here as well. Like he, in this day of age, in that case, he gave a disc to somebody else. Now, when, like Donald already mentioned, sometimes they're also disgruntled employees, those hackers. Yeah, those hacking groups are often, mid-sized companies. They do not get enough pay or leave, and then something happens like the Conti leaks, for example, which CPAR did a decent analysis about. So that is something true as well. Data can leak also in those.
Watch out then for Tony just mentioned that he wants a pay
raise. I'll be monitoring him very closely.
Just making sure.
He knows the idea. You should be paying me more.
And the other thing next to the leaking of the data was, although it was a very successful zero cool hacker, apparently with a lot of notoriety, these guys do make a lot of mistakes often that we see. We see that as well in our investigations. So they're not all or very well oiled industrial hacking groups. Sometimes we see them doing the initial breach and then testing something. It fails because endpoint triggers something. They try again. They fail. Then suddenly it exceeds. You see them typing in commands and then Googling new commands, copy pasting. So it's actually also fun. It's also almost a movie on its own to do the investigation.
So basically, it's every other software engineer ever out there is doing just exactly the same thing.
Yes. And there are
the copy pasting.
The copy pasting, the searching, the trying, the failing, the trying again until it kind of works and then we're good enough.
I had no idea. I am not technical. I just was in, I just sold the stuff. I affectionately call myself a groupie of cybersecurity. Like I get the concepts. So you're telling me they just copy and paste off of Google, like in real time, if they're like searching.
Oh, yes.
That's really.
Oh, yeah.
From time to time.
Go ahead. Go.
Yeah. But I insist that you go ahead first.
All right. So actually, this is kind of a big problem in development these days, is that nobody's writing something from scratch. So they're reusing what's called libraries left and right. And nobody really verifies whether those libraries are actually malicious, even not even badly written, but actually malicious and published because of it. So a hacker could publish something that you could use as an engineer to build software. Oh, this is an easy function that I could use, but it's actually a backdoor into your soft, using your software into whatever it's installed on. And that's very common these days.
Oh, wow. Okay. Had no idea. It's something you just don't think about. That's crazy. Well, okay. So now you're really making me think, and I have to move on to the next clip. But before we close out this little moment, on a scale of 1 to 10 accuracy, 10 being the most accurate, how would you rate the scene?
I'm giving it a 7.
Wow.
They had a 7. They were looking in hexadecimal form to things. They were talking about digital forensics. Good enough for a 1995 movie.
Yeah. I would go with a 6 or so, because the timing thing is just ridiculous. But yeah. I do like the fact that they're doing their analysis. Like, even if it's at lightning speed, it is still an analysis.
I was going for a 3, so no.
Fair enough.
Oh, okay.
Somebody
so
needs
we
to
know-
keep up the standards.
Tom is going to be the tough one in this group here. Okay, everyone needs a Simon Cowell in the group, so we're okay. So that's Tom is it.
Simon Cowell, I need to Google that.
Yeah.
You don't know him? Oh wow.
So-called American Indians, Latinos, and blacks come from a genetically mediocre stock.
Yak. Being aware of racial division, get a job.
Then I am. Say I'm a...
Mr. Simpson, and I'm subbing for Ms. Bayless, who was arrested at the anti-fur rally.
All right.
So, what's the thing, this one? There's some good, there's some bad.
True. To be frank, honest, when I saw the first interface, the picture on the screen, what is it, with the tape robot, I think should have meant, I was thinking about ICS and SCADA systems being approachable, publicly available, actually. That was my first, yeah, well.
There goes the fun in this episode. Come on. Well.
No, I thought, look, back in those days, those clips that were aired, those were probably videotaped, and to have some sort of robot to manage those tapes is not uncommon. And the fact that you could hack it and put a different tape in there without someone noticing, because it's probably the off hours, that to me is realistic. What I find very funny is that he was typing and looking at a screen, and the screen was just doing something random that has nothing to do with what he was typing. And that part is just like, what is he doing? Like, usually when you use any kind of interface, it actually does something to the viewing, whatever it is. And this was definitely not the case.
Fun thing was, he was looking at a 13-inch monitor with three columns and all moving in a different direction.
Yeah.
It was cool. But I did like the tape robot.
Yeah.
The tape robot was awesome cool. And actually still actual. In this case, it was with video cassette for video recordings. But from nowadays, we still see them in some cases with backup tapes, where the tapes are in a robot. We even have a ransomware case. We had a ransomware case once where basically the tape robot was also hacked, and the attacker went in there and they actually deleted all the backup tapes. And they could access all the backup tapes because the tapes were still physically in the robot and the robot could access them. One of the most cool cases ever. But that's why when we're talking to clients who fell victim to a ransomware attack, that we now ask, do you have a copy? Do you have an offline copy of your backups? And then, yes, we have them on tape. And then the next question is always going to be, are these tapes in a tape robot? Because we have seen cases where actually the tape robot was leveraged for that. So offline backups remains an important thing. And apparently a 1995 movie brings us right on to the top of a current case.
Yeah.
Ooh, I just assumed that was like antiquated, but the fact that you're talking about backups, that does make absolute sense. Ooh, okay. So, okay, that little snippet that you saw there, guys, scale of 1 to 10, I'm just curious how accurate that was. Because didn't we just talk about how we were impressed that they didn't use some random GUI to show being hacked? And then, of course, this next scene is exactly that, some random imagery that says, welcome to whatever system that was.
Yeah, and like even if that would never have been the interface for the actual programming running the robot. So that in itself looks, nobody would make something that is so elaborate and that doesn't show anything except an animation of tapes being switched. That would not happen. So like I said, everything about the hack is realistic, but everything visualizing it in the movie is absolutely worthless.
So I'm guessing it's you're gonna give it less than like what, 5-6? Is that my guess how you'd give the scene?
Yeah, I would give it higher remarks because it is very realistic. The hack itself is realistic, so I would even go as far as an 8, I think. Ooh. For this one.
Uh-oh.
And Tom is giving it a 2, probably.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, no, true. The imagery is awful. Yeah, okay. The tape robot brings you to a topic that might be still on point or currently these days. But these movies, I'm not very fond of these movies because they don't do the real life justice. So no. Also, very bad score for this.
All right. So what was the score?
If you guys are being so severe, I'll do a 4 out of 10 for the stupid animation, but then go up to a 6 out of 10 by the coolness of the tape robot being used.
Okay. All right. We'll roll with that. Okay, so let's go on to the next clip here.
Now I'm Mr. Simpson, and I'm subbing for Ms. Bayless, who was arrested at the anti-fur rally. I know some of you kids got computers at home. But these are school property, people, and I don't want to see any gum stuck to them. Chapter 1, Designing Graphical Interface.
The ominous music.
Yeah.
What's up? Oh my god.
Okay, guys.
So those were two scenes, actually, right?
Yeah.
I think it was two scenes.
Yeah, the first one was where he was changing a score or something, or changing his class, and then the second was the sprinkler system that he hacked.
This scene I liked.
Okay.
The scoring will be better for this one. Because it's
talk to me, Goose. Why do you like this?
Well, the first one indeed, changing points or whatever. I couldn't distinct what he was changing. But that is something that it's can be very true, of course. But the, especially the second part of the scene, having access to an internal, well, in this fire extinguishing system, it brings me back to the topic I said, being ICS and SCADA being publicly available. You see those. That often these interfaces are public, either publicly available, not enough well protected, or even inside an environment, a lot of people can access those kinds of things. So this actually is very, well, it's not plausible, this is reality. Yeah. Once inside a network, you often have access to these kind of things because they're really bad, default-wise, really bad secured, and then you can do stuff like that. Yeah. So I like this. This is very...
It's very plausible indeed.
Very plausible, yeah.
Did any of you guys pick up that he basically makes him graduate to advanced English, which that nerd would allow himself to graduate to advanced English, playing around with his grades? That doesn't seem realistic at all. But yes, especially in the 1995 timeframe, database securities and the interfaces were really, really bad. So it was even doable for students to, from time to time, break into one of these databases.
Yeah,
so
it wouldn't I think called a hack. You would just access the database and change it. And you, as long as you knew where it was, you could easily do it.
Well, that brings up the what is hacking.
Like, it didn't break anything. It just changed some records to a system that was probably just accessible from anywhere. And in the second scene, Tom, with just the other week, we were on a team building and we were staying in this house that had a Wi-Fi and we wanted to do something with a Chromecast, and the Wi-Fi had some security feature enabled so that two devices in the same network couldn't connect. And we simply tried the admin portal of the Wi-Fi, which had the default password on it. We just logged on, changed the setting, all done. So, and that was... in like a publicly available place where you would didn't expect it, but it was still default password, like that kind of stuff, and it still happens today.
Do you think that's because of ignorance of maintaining good policy or laziness? What do you guys?
I wouldn't
think?
Use these words.
That's easy to hack.
I will.
Yeah.
Laziness and ignorance, or
no,
forgetting about it.
We say that often, Tom. It's not ignorance or laziness. It dives right into the topic of skills shortages. People or companies don't having the bandwidth or the people to manage these systems. You buy the ecosystem nowadays is you need tons of different security vendors or just infrastructure type of vendors. You have tons of tools, nobody is fully educated on them. So no, it's default out of the box. You place it, you don't configure, you don't update, and then these things happen.
You have the complexity for the party setting it up and then saying to the guys who are going to have to work with it afterwards, saying, hey guys, I set this up with a default password so you guys can change it later. And the other guys say, yes, we'll do that. And they forget about it because they're overtasked and have 3,000 other things to do in the company. It's also one of these things we see a lot.
There's a lot of non-sexy, cool things.
Of a partner, because I used to work at a partner doing these installations of tons of these systems, and I can tell you that you indeed are there. Like, guys, it's finished. Now you need to change it, and you do your best, and then
And it's always the same thing with security products. You have the quality of the product, and you have the quality of the configuration of the product, and just plain things like forgetting to reset default credentials. The product might be top notch. If you forget to do the basics, like resetting the default passwords, it's going to be breached sometime.
It feels like a human aspect, right? The human element. If there's going to be that one step, it's going to be the human, right? Like
It usually is at some point. And even if it's the system, someone made a mistake somewhere that allows some hacker to misuse a system. So at the end, it's all human. But yeah, most of it, when it comes down to configuration, it's usually, And like Tom said, it's not really their fault in the sense that they are overworked. They don't have enough resources, so they need to prioritize on the most important things. And most businesses still prioritize availability over security at any time. And that usually bites them in the rear end at some point.
Nice,
and then Tone and Tom can go and fix the problem. When that
there you
happens.
Go. It's called job security, guys.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, there's plenty of that for us. True. Sadly enough, of course. But no.
It's a sad fact, but I tell everyone if you want job security, go into cyber, because that's just where it's gonna go.
Home run.
All right, let's.
Okay.
What a great visual depiction of
yeah.
this.
With no link to reality whatsoever.
Nope. This is just an Hollywood attempt to make things that look very boring make it look interesting. Yeah. That's just it. There's nothing. This to me gets a 1, a 0 out of 10. Like, this is worthless.
I also like the fact that they at one time they zoomed in on the CCTV thingies, which in 1995 I'm pretty sure were 100% analog, and it's also a closed loop system, not a network system. And they jumped through there into the network, not getting them many points for realism.
Yeah, and then the 2001 Space Odyssey Twilight Zone things where everything is flashing and going like weird. Clips just stitched together, like, it doesn't make any sense. But yeah, they had to fill the seconds and minutes, I guess.
Yes, no, I thought that was funny. I get what they're trying to do with a visual depiction of like data going through a system. I think that's they're getting artistic license, I think, is what I would call that. I don't know of anything else to say other than I think that was just a visual depiction of data running through a network. That was my guess of how to read that.
That is indeed what it was, and it has no basis in reality whatsoever.
Aww.
Our jobs are much more boring to look at from a visual perspective.
You don't get to run through.
I wish it was. It would be cool too.
No, it's also. I think it also a bit of a. This is 95, so it's like this is what we can. Generate with a computer when it comes to 3D images back in the day. Because that scene with the green cubes, that would have taken probably days of rendering back in the day. Like, this is CGI from 95. So, yeah. They wanted to show off what they could do back then. Which probably back then looked really cool. But
undoubtedly.
Yeah. But to today's standards, not so much.
So are you saying that Hackers is aging itself a little bit? Is that what you guys are saying? It's dated a little bit?
That scene, definitely.
Tiny bit.
Yeah, tiny bit, yes.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so I'd like, if we can, I would like to see if we can do one more.
Okay.
morning, sir. You inquired about an employee of ours, Agent Richard Gill?
Yes.
Our records indicate he's deceased.
I'm what?
Yeah.
Oh, there's so much about this scene that just cracked me up. Okay, so I don't know if anyone has the ability to take someone's property and destroy it first off. So I don't know if that was a policy back in the day, but just seeing how nonchalant that waiter was to carry back that credit card and just be like, boop, 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 deuces. It's like no explanation. No, do you have any other cards? None of that. So I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, that was quite funny. But it was not, for me, it wasn't the funniest thing in the clip, but yeah, definitely funny there as well.
Also, the thing that, well, that were the magnetic strip was the only thing on that card at the time. Now we all have cards with chips, and the chip basically has some basic security in it. That was the old times where you could just copy somebody's magnetic strip, which was basically just a string of data. That was enough to...
Yeah,
and then indeed, cutting the strip in two was good enough to basically protect you from abuse. Yeah. But I like plenty of things in here. The fact they were on a public telephone booth,
yeah.
Kids probably don't know what it was, but at the time, before mobiles was a thing, us mere mortals, we made arrangements with people, and we were on the certain time at a certain place to meet each other and things like that. But, well, the phone booths to basically link up with a computer with a thing called a modem, which made a very distinct sound when you try to dial into a network. I like that one really, really, really.
Yeah, and it would have made them less traceable because they were on a public phone and they could leave and there was no trace of them being there. So that was really good.
It would also cost them quite a few pennies to keep the phone line open.
Yeah,
especially knowing which internet speeds at that time we had and things like that.
Yeah, of course, the amount of data was not that much. What was again completely ridiculous was the visual representation. If you would edit data when you hack something, it would not look like that. You wouldn't have a nice graphical interface. And like Tone said, with the speeds that you had back then, it would take too long to just load the graphical interface to begin with. So that again, Hollywood doing what Hollywood does best.
Well, it might be a bit of artistic freedom to make a SQL injection look a bit cooler.
Yep. But then again, you and I would find it much cooler if it was actual
real
SQL injection.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Like you had
then
in
again.
In the Matrix movie, there's a scene where they actually use an exploit that was a real exploit back in the day, and they actually show you the the prompt. It was an SSH hack something vulnerability, and they actually used the real one that was valid in that time.
Interesting.
That's a cool movie to review. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that one.
Yep.
Oh, I made a mental note to add that to our review list. So thank you. Everyone loves Matrix though, so I get it. And Tom, you've been a little quiet there, my friend.
Yeah, well, actually I was thinking about a book I read on Kevin Mitnick. It was Ghost in the Wires. This scene reminded me about that. It's a really awesome book. I've only been playing in the digital realm doing this, but if you see how he explains in very much in detail how we deceived FBI by leveraging the phone system back in the days and hacking into companies and universities. Awesome book to read if you want to dive into that tech subject. Ghost in the Wires.
What was the correct term for that, for phone line hacks? Fracking? No.
Fracking. Fracking.
Yes.
No, fracking.
Is it fracking?
It has a specific term.
Oh, interesting.
And not to be confused with the term used in Battlestar Galactica, which is also
that's a completely different thing.
Series.
Yeah. And what's relevant today also, I think, is that how much of our lives is digital. So if they mess with that data, yeah, it can have real life consequences. Like if someone puts somewhere that you are actually deceased, it can be hard to get those errors out of the system.
Prove
it, right?
That is something that we don't deal with, of course, that type of incidents or cybercrime. That's more for police. But it is, yeah, I can't remember. I also, authority. I can't remember the name. When somebody takes your identity, there's a, and
identity
takes over your kinds. Yeah, yeah. There's something else as well. Wanted to go to identity theft, of course. It's a severe issue once you have that. If they take your identity, well, because there's also very little you can do about it. It can mess up your life.
And the more we move into the digital world, the more important it is to protect your digital identity too, on all sorts of forms, because, well, the probably is going to be the case already that your digital self is more important than your physical self, at least for everything what the states or the place you live, the authorities are concerned about.
Yeah, it makes 100% sense. So, okay, I love this last scene here because I do think it's a great reminder of how vulnerable this Richard Gill, apparently they're definitely targeting him for whatever reason, because obviously I don't know the movie, but He definitely did something to earn it, right? So if you get on the target of an ire of a hacker that really wants to go after your personal life, identity theft, or whatever purpose they want to go after, it's very real in this day and age. Is that fair to say? It doesn't matter who you are. If you've got an IP address somewhere with your identity, you can't get tracked and you can't get hacked. Is that the positive message I guess we should take away?
If it talks to internet, it can get hacked, yes. And even if it doesn't talk to internet, it might still end up being hacked with an error detector reversal. But
and this is what we tell customers as well. I mean, they always say, yeah, but why would someone hack us? Yeah, but if someone does, and then we have the angry ex-employee or even still employee, or there are many reasons why they would be a target. And once they target you,
sheer bad luck. You have targeted attacks, but there's a lot of automated scanners who report on, hey, we have a vulnerability here, and they just venture into that. So,
well, okay, so and it sounds like to me, I apologize. Tone, go ahead.
I was just going to add, that's not like the proverbial worm that's nibbling away a few cents of your bank account. That's not what they're after. They're not as nice than that they leave something in your bank account. They try to empty it as a whole.
That's a very true statement. So guys, I know we can keep going. And I know Hackers has been requested. Like I said, so many people were like, you guys got to do Hackers. You guys got to do it. So I know we didn't actually play the movie thematically speaking, but of the scenes that you have seen so far, knowing that's a 1995 movie, on a scale of 1 to 10, what did you think of your experience of watching the hacker scenes overall?
I'll go for a 3.5. I don't know. Not my kind of movie, I think. No, not going to spend my time on it. Let's call it like that.
All right. Tone?
I go for a 7 because there are some interesting concepts which are still valid today.
And, I'll go for a 6 because I think it is good entertainment at least, and it has some points of truth, but it's just fun to watch.
Well, guys, I appreciate your feedback. And Tom, you crack me up. You're like, it's a 2 or 3 on a good day. You might be surprised. I mean, a lot of guys and gals in cybersecurity have said Hackers has actually got them interested in and going into the field. So it's like one of those early, you know, predecessor, I guess, what you call OG movies. So I might check it out myself. I haven't seen it in like so many eons, but yeah, I gotta say it is entertaining. It's probably more accurate than I think some other movies that we've seen of depiction of hacking. But yes. I mean, come on, you guys, if Hollywood actually filmed us accurately of what you guys all do all day, I'd imagine it would be a very short movie with a very small niche of people that'd be interested, just because it's so not exciting, visually speaking, as you guys have said. Is that accurate?
Would be a very long movie.
Well, very long. Sometimes a very long and boring movie.
Long and boring movie. Sometimes. With, like, at the very end, a eureka moment, and that's it.
And it's an end scene. Well,
that,
guys.
That kind of.
Well, Christoph, Tone, Tom, I really appreciate your time, and I really loved your guys' insight. So, you know what? I think we could just go ahead and wrap this up because I have a feeling we could keep going and going on this. So I want to say thank you so much for your time. You guys have been rock stars, and you're always welcome back. But let's go ahead and wrap this up for another episode of Checkpoint Real Talk. We'll see you next time. That's a wrap on today's episode of Checkpoint Real Talk. If you like this video, hit that subscribe button and some of those other buttons to show us your appreciation. And if you want to learn more or have any questions, please let us know in the comments. We'll see you next time for another episode of Checkpoint Real Talk.